जय कुंज बिहारी। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की। ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki. Prince kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Grantarashimam Bhagavatam ki. Dai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glory to Shishi Guru and Shigoranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summum Bonum, Chapter 16, Krishna Chastises the Serpent Kaliya, Texts 6 through 8. Text number 6.
Tam Chanda Begavisha Biryam Abhesya. Tam chandam vega vishavirya nabekshyate na dushtam nadin chakalasamya manavatara krishna kadamba nadiruhya tatoti tungam aspotya gada rasano nyapatat vishode.
Translation. Lord Krishna saw how the Kaliya serpent had polluted the Yamuna river with his terrible, powerful poison. Since Krishna has descended from the spiritual world specifically to subdue envious demons, the Lord immediately climbed to the top of a very high kadamba tree and prepared himself for battle. He tightened his belt, slapped his arms, and then jumped into the poisonous water. Purpur. According to the Acharyas, Lord Krishna also tied back the locks of his hair as he prepared to do battle with Kaliya. Text number 7.
Sarpahrada purushashara nipata vega shangsho bitoraga Bisho chaswa cha bisho chwa sitamburasi parya pluto bishakashaja bibisha normir do davandanu shatana nanda balasya kintat.
Translation. When the Supreme Personality of God had landed in the serpent's lake, the snakes there became extremely agitated and began breathing heavily, further polluting it with volumes of poison. The force of the Lord's entrance into the lake caused it to overflow in all sides, and poisonous, fearsome waves flooded the surrounded land up to the distance of 100 bow length. This is not at all amazing, however, for the Supreme Lord possesses infinite strength. Today's verse.
Tasya hrade viharato bujadanda gurna Bhargo Shananga Barabara Nabikramasya. Asrutya Tatsvat Sadadna Bibabam Niriksha. Chakshushabhasamasarattadamrisyamana. Tasya hrade viharato bhujadanda ghurna. Bargoshananga barabara nabrikramasya. Asrutya tatsva sadana bibhavan niriksha. Chakshu shabasa masaratta damrishyamana. Tasya hrade viharato bhujadanda ghurna. Bargoshan anga barabhara nabikramasya. Asrutya tatsva sadana bibhavan niriksha. Chakshu shabasa masaratta damrishyamana. Please chant. Anyone else? Tasya, of him, Hrade, in his lake, Biharataha, who was playing, Bhujadanda, with his mighty arms, Gurna, swirled about, Baha, of the water, Gosham, the resounding. Anga, my dear king. Varana, like a great elephant.
Vikramasya, whose prowess,
Ashutya,
hearing,
that,
Swasadana,
of his own residence,
Abhibhavam,
the trespassing,
Niriksha,
taking note of,
Chakshushrabaha,
Kaliya,
Samasarat,
came forward,
Tat,
Amrishya
Manaha,
being unable to tolerate.
Translation and purport
by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Krishna
began sporting in Kaliya's lake like a lordly elephant,
swirling his mighty arms and making the water resound in various ways.
When Kaliya heard these sounds,
he understood that someone was
trespassing in his lake.
The serpent could not tolerate this and immediately
came forward.
Purport.
According to the Acharyas,
Lord Krishna was
producing wonderful
musical sounds
within the water
simply by
splashing
his hands
and arms.
Om Gyana Tibrandasya
Gyananjana
Shalakaya Chakshur
Ummilitam Yena
Tasmai Sri
Guruve Namaha.
Namo Om
Vishnu Padaya
Krishna Saya Bhutale
Srimate Ramapada Swami
Iti Namaha.
Namo
Om Vishnu Padaya
Krishna Prastaya
Bhutale Srimate
Bhaktivedanta
Swami Iti Namine.
Namaste
Saraswate Deve
Gauravani
Pracharine
Nirvesesha
Shunyavadi
Pashyatyade
Satarine.
Vancha
kalpa taruvyasha
kripa sindhu
vyaeva cha
patitanam
pavanevyo
vaishnavevyo
namo namaha.
One thing that we hear from
Srila
Sukadev Goswami
is
highlighting
the
wonderful
activities and
the powers
of
the Supreme
Personality of
Godhead, Krishna.
We
hear
in the
Bhagavad Gita and
the Srimad Bhagavatam,
in the beginning of the
Bhagavatam,
the
position of Krishna
as
the
Supreme
Controller,
the
Swayam
Bhagavan,
the source
of all things.
In the
Bhagavad Gita,
Krishna expresses
that
he is the source of
everything
material
and spiritual.
The
Chatur Sloki
verse
in Bhagavad Gita.
I got a blank.
Aham
sarvasya prabhavo
matta sarvam
pravartate.
That Krishna
is the source.
We
also hear
why
he descends to
this world.
Paritranaya
sadunan
vinashaya
chaduskritan
dharma
sanstapanartaya
sambhavami yuge
yuge.
That
he descends
to give
pleasure to the
devotees,
to protect
the devotees,
and
to annihilate the
miscreants,
and to
establish the
principles of religion.
He comes
in
every millennium
to this world.
Srila
Prabhupada explains
that
Krishna
doesn't need
to come personally.
That's
Swayam Bhagavan
Krishna, the
source
of everything,
doesn't
need.
Because he can
sin
by his
expansion, by
his energies.
He
can take care of
all these different
things
very, very perfectly.
He can either
do it through his expansion, direct expansions, or through his representative. And he can take care of this paritranaya shadunan and thus as vinashaya chaduskritan business, and, you know, to establish principles of religion. And indeed, he does that. He does that throughout the existence of a particular cosmic manifestation, universe. It is explained that the appearances of the personality of Godhead in a particular form of avatar, they're unlimited. They're as unlimited as the waves that comes in the ocean. It's just never ending. But it is explained that once in the day of Brahma, this Swayam Bhagavan Krishna descends to perform his very intimate pastimes. And he comes with his associate and his own abode, Goloka Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the purpose and the reason of this is because he not only is taking care of the regular business, but also performing these very sweet pastimes that are meant to attract the heart of the conditioned souls. Their pastimes that are filled imbued with the mood of Vrindavan, which is of this unconditional love between the living entity and the personality of God, that is mutual. So they're very sweet, and that sweetness is basically irresistible. It attracts the heart. So the appreciation of Krishna's pastimes and the appreciation of Krishna's abode, Sri Vrindavan Dham, is this super, or this, how you say, this superlative manifestation of Krishna's kindness and love and mercy that he specifically comes to attract us. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that it is impossible to appreciate and and Srila Rupa Goswami also says that, you know, it's in the, that with our material senses we cannot appreciate Sri Vrindavan Dham or Krishna's manifestation, Krishna's deity form, or Krishna's pastimes or activities and like that. We can. Not with our blunt material senses. Prabhupada explains that we can only see through our hearing. So with our material eyes, we won't be able to see. So we learn to see through our hearing. So by the association of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnava Acharyas and the devotees, the representatives of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan Mission, then we start to be able to see, then we can appreciate. It is because of receiving this capacity of seeing through our hearing that we actually can experience to a very, very, to a degree, depending on the purity, on the amount of purification, to a particular degree, we can actually experience the beauty of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form, Krishna's abode, Vrindavan.
So when we go to Vrindavan, Srila Sanatana Goswami explained that there is like a layer, there's a thin layer of yoga maya that doesn't, that you see like an external cover. He explained that it's like when you see water with a mixed with oil, they have a thin layer of oil. So, you know, the oil, what you see is this oily water, but underneath is pure water. So if we don't have the proper association and we have not undergone the hearing process of transcendental knowledge, then we can only see that external thing. So indeed, when you go to a place like Vrindavan, Prabhupada explains, you see the hogs, you know, and the sewage, and some poverty, and things like that. That externally, you know, buildings that are sort of falling apart, and so externally appears like, you know, it's just a poor village. But actually, through the association of devotees, you can see this very, very most beautiful transcendental place. You can experience it. And what to speak, if you actually become fully purified, you can actually see Krishna performing his lila there. When we hear the narration of the experiences of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and also all the other Vaishnava Acharyas, you know, you immediately come to mind Srinivasa Acharya experiencing the association of Srimati Radharani in Sevakunj. So that's there. So when we go to Vrindavan and you walk from Krishna Balaram Mandir and you start the Parikram Mark, very soon after passing the Goshala of the Krishna Balaram temple, then you come to a place, the first major place in the Parikram, that is called Kaliyagat. In the Kaliyagat, there is still that Kadamba tree that Krishna climbed to jump into the Kaliya lake. The tree right now is no more, but still, you know, it's not alive. Is it alive? No, it's not alive. I think it's just a trunk, you know, that is. But still there. That's a long time ago, you know, the narrations of this. So the narration, you know, going to this narration is quite amazing. What the Acharyas is highlighting is the grace and the beauty and, you know, the amazing power of Krishna in the narration. Especially, you know, when these descriptions of how the dramatic feature of Krishna's activities, like he's a great actor, so he climbs into this tree and then he ties us his belt, he fixes his hair, you know, it's all this very dramatic performance. He slaps his arms, you know. He gets ready. He jumps into the lake. And when he jumps,
the power of his, of when, you know, it's a 7-year-old boy, you know, with that. But the force that is created when he enters a lake, that, you know, this huge splash, you know, is created. That is explained, 100 balls. So, you know, I'm assuming it's a, you know, a ball, you know, like, so you put a hundred of that. So suppose a ball is like what, like maybe 4 feet or something like that. You multiply that by 100, you know, maybe it's like 100, 400 feet or something like that. That's a lot. And then what amazes me too is that then he starts to play in the water. Like, you know, I mean, and the description of these waters were like, they were, the term that is used, it was, I think it's in the previous verse. It is Kashaya, Visha Kashaya. Visha Kashaya, a reddish yellow. So when, if you see water that is reddish yellow, then you will go like, oh. And because of the terrible poison, the water was boiling and there was fumes come out. So, you know, this is the description of this water. But Krishna jumps in then, and then it's tried to, you know, sports, like a splashing, it's played like a, you know, like a great elephant splashing, but the splash is creating this music, this musical creation. He's actually making music with the splash. You know, I like when I, you know, whatever I see, you just start to play and, you know, try to make music with, you know, things, you know. Yeah, with your knee or... There was one time that I went with my spiritual master to a program and we find out that there's no mardanga. So he jokingly passed me a wooden box. So, you know, and I grabbed the wooden box and I started to play mardanga with the wooden box, and he looked at me like, oh. So, you know, you make a sound, you can make something musically out of any, you know. But Krishna is making this amazing musical creation by splashing the water. So how amazing this Krishna is. Whatever he does is with this, you know, beautiful grace and artistry and you know, like, it's inconceivable. I mean, later we're going to see how by chastising Krishna, Kaliya, the way he chastised Kaliya, I mean, you think like someone chastising and beating someone to pulp almost to death is a violent, you know, bloody thing. You know, beating someone that is just like, you know, scary when you see someone being beaten, you know, to pulp, you know, like that. But Krishna does that in the most gracious. I mean, he created a beautiful style of dancing. You know, it is explained that Kathak dancing, that is, you know, stomping your feet in the ground, mostly comes from Krishna's dancing on Kaliya's hood. So he's this beautiful dance by, this is the way he beats Kaliya up to pulp, you know, like that. So, very, very amazing, beautiful, powerful, attractive way of Krishna's acting and performing his lila. The ultimate hero, the ultimately attracted person, that's what Krishna means. the most attractive. So, I liked it very much, your class yesterday. It was very, very nice. I couldn't come, but I was listening. And one of the points that you brought out, Harishan Prabhu, was what Kaliya represents, this envy, deceit, and cruelty. And I'd like to go a little further on that. And especially, I mean, you mentioned it yesterday, and very nice. And the quotes and the readings from Haritosh and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Krishna Samhita is a book. Manashiksha, yes. So this, explains very nicely. One thing that is said is that because of these qualities that was embodied in Kaliya, envy, deceit, and cruelty, when he came and saw Krishna, he could appreciate how beautiful Krishna is. But the beauty of Krishna, what arises in Kaliya was this: envy, deceit, and cruelty. So, with these qualities, or this, with this type of qualities, you can appreciate, even if you see Krishna face to face, or even if you experience, Krishna's or Krishna's energy, you can appreciate it. And what arises is actually anger, deceit, envy, cruelty, like that. That's what comes out. We see that in many, many levels, externally, with materialistic people. Especially when you engage in the activities of Sankirtan, when you go out regularly to perform Harinam and book distribution and preaching, then you see it. You see certain people, when they hear the Harinam, this viciousness becomes arise. Like that, actually. I mean, sometimes goes as further as of attacking the devotees. There's many instances, I'm sure, some of you have experienced that. I myself experienced it many times, of like this type of people attacking the Harinam. There was one time this little guy just spit on my face, like a spit on my face. And I have to contain myself because it was a drunken little guy that I could have, beaten. But he was accompanied by a gang of, other crazy drunkards, So you have to, but, things like that. There are many situations that you see this arising. And same thing in a different degree when you have people coming to the temple not for the purpose of worshiping the deities, just for the purpose of seeing what's going on in here. And when they come in front of the deities, they can appreciate the beautiful form of the deities, but then something doesn't allow to, there's something that blocks the vision, and they know, then this is, the appreciation becomes erased. It doesn't arise attraction, but arise sort of a rejection. So why is that? Why blocks the vision? What is that that blocks this appreciation and this, you know, attraction? That is strong attraction is this envy that then naturally degrades into all kinds of other things: anger, deceit, cruelty. You know, it can actually, you know, come degrade into so many different things. Krishna explains that the initial thing that brings us into this material world is this envy. These two things, Ichha Dvesha Samutena Dvanda Mohena Bharata. Ichha and Dvesha, desire and hate. Hate, Dvesha also translates as envy. So this is the initial, the Christians they call the original sin that brings, you know, the spirit soul into the material world. There's an original sin. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is pointed out, what is this original thing, sin? What is this original cause? Ichha Dvesha Samudena, desire and hate and envy. Envy of Krishna and desire of Krishna's position. My spiritual master once was given in-depth discussion of these causes of fall down like that. And then something clicked when I was hearing that, because this is the most subtle form of anartha that is there, the origin, because this desire and this envy of Krishna brings us to the material world. And when we fall into the material world, we immediately be covered by ignorance. Ignorance, this avidya, means that with ignorance of our constitution, we become ignorant of Krishna's position. We become covered by this ignorance, and out of this ignorance, then it comes. You know, it just also, how you say, cascade into all kinds of things, you know, raga and dvesha, and then false ego, and from that, you know, one becomes completely absorbed in material existence, and then ultimately that is the cause of suffering in this material world. So originally this desire and envy of Krishna is there. So as my spiritual master explains that, you know, that when you go and go and go and go and peel and peel and peel, we're going to find this thing, envy of Krishna. And this envy doesn't allow us to fully connect and appreciate Krishna's Krishna's beauty and Krishna's position. So the explanation that my spiritual master was given is that we can trace that in ourselves. How can we explain that we are in contact, direct contact, we receive the greatest and most magnanimous manifestation of the personality of Godhead in the form of the holy name? And then to chant the holy name with offenses means that there's no fully appreciation. We're not experiencing, although it's there, present, we're not experiencing it. So that means that something is blocking that experience, and that is these qualities, these anarthas. And one of such, very, very, very deep in the origins of all our condition, is this envy of Krishna. And actually, what it shocked me was, you know, this hate towards Krishna, this, you know. So then I was thinking, well, so when we stand in front of Krishna, we see the beautiful, you know, we actually, we had a connection with the deities. We have a connection with Krishna's representative. And it's genuine. But although we cultivate in this loving relationship, there is still within me something that hates. And that's shocking. That's a bit shocking, you know. That's actually that feeling is there. So that is like Kaliya. Srila Prabhupada explains that the holy name, actually Srila Sanatana Goswami, I think, the Prabhupada quotes, the holy name, when we chant the holy name, the holy name dances in our tongue. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that our tongue is the most of all the senses, sarida, vidyaya, yotendriya, taika, jive pele, vishar, shagare. Of all the senses, this tongue is the most heinous. So just like Kaliya, Krishna dancing in Kaliya and stomping all the poison out, you know, and purifying on the hoods of Kaliya. And Kaliya, you know, fights, was fighting Krishna. And Krishna, boom, hitting him in each one of the hoods. And every time he hit, the poison was coming out, vomiting all the poison. So he has been purified with each of those stumps in the head. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains, he gives this analogy with our tongue and the holy name. The holy name dancing in our tongue is purifying by the process of chanting and eating prasadam. But the holy name specifically is dancing in our tongue and is purifying just all the poison starts to come out. So sometimes we experience that as devotees, that, you know, now that I'm before practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, I was like a normal person, quote unquote. And now it's all these things, you know, that they're coming out that maybe shocked me, you know, like now, you know, I can find myself, you know, angry or whatever, you know. You start to see that, you know, you start to feel yourself like, you know, being greedy about something, or, you know, things comes out. Or, you know, this anger boost, how do you say, boost? This burst of anger, you know, come, you know, things like that. And you get shocked. You know, I was more peaceful before, and now I'm constantly, you know, like angry, you know. But that is, you know, that is the stuff coming out. It's all coming out. And then now I'm recognized, actually, no, I was not peaceful. I was just, you know, in delusion. I was all the time angry, but I'm thinking I'm peaceful, you know. But now I can understand that within the heart is all this stuff. And it's coming out and it's becoming purified. So as we go to the process of chanting and hearing, then we're becoming more and more appreciated. And why is that? It's because we're becoming purified. Eventually, just like Kaliya, Kaliya became fully purified to the point to being on the shelter of Krishna. Garuda used to see Kaliya as an enemy of Krishna. But after Kaliya being subdued and purified, then Garuda will see, and Krishna assured that to Kaliya, that Garuda will not consider him an enemy. So he became under the protection of Krishna. Actually, I read, can't remember where, but that sometimes Krishna rides on Kaliya. So just like rides on Garuda. So that's there, that there is, you know, just like yesterday Harishan Prabhu was reading from the Vaishnavacharyas about how these qualities from within the heart becomes purified by the mercy of Krishna, by the presence of Krishna. How, you know, we become protected externally and internally from these things. Is a very important aspect to actually appreciate. And one thing that we can, from this appreciation, we can actually pay attention to you know, the manifestation of these qualities of envy, deceit, and cruelty. I think it was yesterday nicely explained. You know, sometimes when it comes, this manifestations of envy and cruelty and deceit comes from materialistic people is expected. It's like that, but we become shocked when it's actually, you know, when we see it within the association of devotees. You know, there's especially, you know, just open the internet and you see how much vicious things are said about, you know, wonderful devotees. And sometimes even within devotees that, you know, you say, oh, what, this is a wonderful devotee, and this is a wonderful devotee, and you see like some sort of a very heavy, unnecessary, you know, criticisms and things like that being happening. So we're no one to judge that, you know, and sometimes Krishna has ways of doing things. And for sure, when it is done out of this enmity, then Krishna exposes, just like, you know, Kaliya, and becomes fully taken care. So, but nevertheless, we have to be so careful about this, you know, especially finding ourselves that we have some aversion or enmity or envy or hate towards another devotee, and how we act towards another devotee that sometimes could be actually a bit cruel, you know, when you put someone in anxiety I think you explained that yesterday. When you create anxiety, when you create, you know, a sort of disturbance in someone else's spiritual path, discourage and that type of thing, it's a form of cruelty. So we have to be very much aware. And in one sense, you know, that's within most conditioned souls. It is when the nature of condition in this material world is that we become selfish, you know, selfishness. And that naturally evolves into this competition. Sometimes you have to knock the person out. So there's always some form of cruelty, some form of envy, some form of deceit, some form of this and that. And we have to pay attention to these things. But especially importantly, we have to be careful to guard against, you know, doing something towards the devotees. And the first offense for the holy name, blaspheme or have this enmity towards devotees. Any comments or questions? Back to Daniel and then Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I guess not so much a question, just kind of a reflection, I guess. I feel like the more that I chant, like, you know, past minimum 16 rounds, like you woke up super early and started chanting, like on the way to the temple, finished rounds before Bhagavatam class, and then chanting throughout the day and just going and going and going. I find like the more I chant, it's kind of like you know, like if you had a cup with dirty water in it and you let the dirt settle down and it goes to the bottom and then like the water's at the top. I feel like the more chanting, it's kind of like shaking up and making me realize how much dirt I still have inside of me. You know what I mean? It's like the chanting is like this stirring rod, and it's like, oh, you're far from done. You're so far from done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like back to what you were saying about the devotee. Is it like the devotees are dancing on the tongue, or Krishna's dancing on the tongue? How you put it? I believe it was in one of Jai Baladev's emails in his list of quotes that he has with his email. I think it was like of all the body parts, the tongue is the only one that never gets tired. Is that right? Is that correct?
Is that it? No. Are you done? Oh, you're done?
Jai Baladev, keep it tight and to the point.
The only reason I go on so long in your class is because you made so many wonderful points. So I have to actually edit my points down. I was like, wow.
Yeah, just keep it tight.
So we'll see. So actually, that's a really profound realization by Bhakti.
Is it on that microphone?
Hello?
Yeah, okay.
I usually don't need one. That's great. I'll have to steal Bhakti Daniels. I really appreciate that point, FYI. You made a lot of wonderful points. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in a verse of today, it mentions that when Krishna splashed the water, beautiful musical sounds emanated.
Right.
And so I really appreciate that point, and it reminds me of my favorite point. Like, we hear the Brahma Samhita, every word is a song, every step is a dance, and Krishna was playing music by splashing the water, and he was dancing on Kaliya. So it wasn't like a battle, it was a musical party. That's what I appreciate. So it reminds me of one of my favorite points that I appreciate, because in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, the session entitled The Chanting of the Holy Name, although most devotional practices are essentially considered the same, Bhaktisiddhanta does make a distinction between Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha. Hari Kirtan means the music on the outside, Hari Katha, the music on the inside, because one thing I appreciate about this analogy is because essentially we see that when we want to tune a mridanga, we put water on the big side of the mridanga, either water in the winter or fire in the summer to tune a mridanga. We also play beautiful melodies on a harmonium. But Bhaktisiddhanta was essentially saying in this session regarding being serious about hearing Harikatha, he said, basically he was saying it may be easy to tune a mridanga or play beautiful melodies on a harmonium, but it's not so easy to stay in tune to Krishna consciousness or remain in harmony with the higher spiritual nature. For that, we need Harikatha. And we see that in this pastime, the reason Krishna chastised Kaliya was to tune his kirtan, because one thing I appreciate about instruments is that if you play an instrument that's out of tune, it doesn't sound good. In much the same way, we see that all the great demons throughout the scriptures, because their character is out of tune, they don't sound good. They start criticizing, start manifesting very negative qualities because their character is out of tune. And so the reason I appreciate about this pastime is that Krishna wasn't punishing Kaliya for punishment's sake, but to tune his character. There's a nice quote that says, people are like violin strings. They only make music when they're stretched. So Krishna stretched Kaliya. Just like when a violin string is loose, it doesn't make any sound. When it's stretched, it makes beautiful sounds. In much the same way, when we're loose in our spiritual practices, it leads to our degradation. If we're strict with our practices, it leads to our elevation. And so this one last point I want to make, maybe you could expand on this point. One nice point made by Narada Muni in the 10th canto, 10th chapter of the Bhagavatam, the pastime of Nalakuvana Manigriva. In that pastime, he makes a very profound point. Generally speaking, he says basically there are two kinds of austerities or humility. Voluntary and involuntary. Now, most of us, generally speaking, we prefer not to do voluntary austerities. Krishna usually has to punish us to make us make beautiful musical sounds. And so in this pastime, he says that whether you do voluntary austerities or involuntary austerities, you get the same result. You make beautiful, your character is tuned. And he says the result of not tuning your character, he uses the word envy. He says just like when you're feeling strong, you're eating sumptuously, you're going through everything, you have nice money, what happens? You start creating problems yourself. You care about who's getting more attention than you. But if you have a terminal illness, you're not trying to spy on others, you're not trying to fault find. Why? You're on your deathbed. So he says involuntary austerities are good. When we go through some sickness, some health problem, we don't care who's getting more attention. We don't try to criticize. We don't try to spy on others. And one last point you were mentioning, Durvasa Muni made this point. You say envy, deceit, and cruelty. And we see this among spiritual, like you said, among Durvasa Muni. He was envious on Ambarish. He was deceitful. What did he do? He spied on Ambarish. When he was by the Jamuna, he was saying whether he'll make an offense. And then cruelty. He tried to kill Ambarish. So these three, quite envy, deceit, cruelty, we could see that. So my question is that as practicing devotees, it's very difficult just in general, Maya is so powerful when we have our health. When everything is going right, then we create problems for ourselves. We start criticizing our finding fault. How can we develop this tendency to be attracted to voluntary austerities before Krishna tunes our character with punishment?
Well, in general, is out of ordeal. You know, you realize that there's not much alternative. I mean, part of the purification that we have leads us to the conclusion that we need to perform the austerities, and the austerities that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada is the four regulated principles, fasting during the Ekadasi and during the festivals, and chanting, you know, our sadhana, basically. So, you know, these are the regulations that we have to perform. And as we become purified,
then you start to understand that, you know, it's a matter of life and death, you know, to actually do these things. Like, you know, suffering helps you. And when you start to realize that, you know, the cause of what the cause of suffering is, by purification, by understanding, by knowledge, then it's easier. Like, for example, you know, you suffer of a particular condition in your body. As, you know, as the body gets old, they start to break down. So then you start to realize, oh, okay, things that I didn't care in the past, I would, you know, like sit down every time there is a feast, I would eat up to the neck, you know, and that type of thing, or I would eat anything, you know, and indulge in this type of things. And, you know, the body was able to handle it, but now the body is not handling. So now I'm forced to regulate. And then, you know, sometimes you can resist. It's a great, you know, feast, and then, you know, you just do, and then you suffer. And then the suffering tells you, and then you really suffer. And then, oh, okay, I have to regulate. And then like that, suffering helps us regulate and regulate and regulate, especially when you start to understand what the cause of the suffering is. So I think it's just the natural progression. But intelligent, first-class intelligent, Prabhupada explains, is someone who can avoid all that ordeal just simply by hearing. So, you know, you don't have to experience it. But most of us, they have to experience suffering. But, you know, one thing is just to naturally come to understand that there's no alternative for us but to embrace the austerities and the prescription, the sadhana that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Haribol.